the Prentice Altum Heating and Air Coach's Corner from Cedar Bucket Restaurant on WGNS, FM 100.5, FM 101.9, AM 1450, and GoPrimeTimeSports.com.
And welcome back. Thomas McDaniel of the Oakland Patriots joins us here on the Prentice Alsop Heating and Air Coach's Corner from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant. And, Coach, I get a rare opportunity to talk about two games. So we're going to kind of briefly talk about the Ravenwood game. You were playing during fall break. And,
that's right.
And it was a weird game. I know you got off to a weird start in terms of getting there. And did that put you in a funk at the beginning? Or I know things like that happen. You can't really, you know, predict that.
Did us taking Wilson Pike and getting stuck under a bridge caused us to have 9 penalties in the first half and 2 turnovers?
Probably not.
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't been stuck on Wilson Pike in any other game this year, and we've been managing to do that. So, you know, that'd be a nice excuse, but it is that's what it is. It's an excuse, and it was sloppy. It was a sloppy game for us early. We just didn't execute well at times, and I do think not being in a routine obviously can hurt your football team. But the environment was bad, just all those things put together. But bottom line is we didn't execute, and we were doing the same things that we've been doing all year, which is playing against Ravenwood and Oakland. You know, so luckily for us last night we didn't do that as much, you know, it's a bad situation us having to play during fall break. It's just kind of one of those things. We didn't have a choice. It's either that or play 9 games, and I wasn't going to do that. So, you know, we learned from it. We did some good things in the Ravenwood game. We played really well on defense that night, other than a couple plays. Offensively, we were kind of, I don't know, sputtered at times, and really ran the ball well at times. And but you know, we're out without Manuel Smith that night, and Rhett came in and did a nice job for us. But just to there's a variety of things that happened, but ultimately we found a way to win the game, and you know, that's all. I'd love for it to be cleaner. I'd love for us to win by 35 and all that, but it doesn't. I don't care about that, really, to be honest with you. You got to win the games. We had to win that one to put us in position to get to the next step toward the playoffs, which is ultimately what our goal's been all year, and so we did that. And then obviously last night I feel like we probably put ourselves in a position that we're going to be in the playoffs. So that was the goal 2 weeks ago. We took care of business there, and then, you know, we moved forward last Monday. So that's basically it in a nutshell.
Has it helped you build a little momentum going in? I know you've got fall break, but sometimes I think fall break it can hurt you as well, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe there's just much to do about nothing, really.
As far as us right now, I don't know. I mean, I can't tell you. I cannot put the finger on the pulse of our football team, you know, and I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think, again, I don't want to sound like a negative Nancy, because last night we did some positive things and I thought we got better, but I don't think we're playing up to our potential, you know, and I still think we've got a long way to go, because I feel like we're more talented than what we're playing at times. Now, let's get away. I mean, you know, all that stuff that we've talked about all year about our youth and experience and all that, I mean, we're 9 games in now, you know, and 6-3, to be quite honest with you. I'm very proud of that. But and it's frustrating to me, because I really feel like we really should be sitting here and probably be 7-2, maybe even 8-1, to be honest. But we're 6-3, and I think we've learned from some of the mistakes we've had, some of the letdown games we've had, and I do think we've got most of the people in place that are supposed to be playing for us at this point. And, you know, the thing that I wish I knew is what is it that makes our team tick? You know, I can't – it's just – the youth doesn't bother me. It's not the youth. It's the immaturity. And we've just got some immature cats. I mean, I don't know how else to say it other than just say it. We got some goofballs, and it's not that I don't like being around them, but there's a time to be goofy and there's a time to be ready. And sometimes I'm not sure that we're too relaxed at times. And, you know, that starts with your leaders. And we've got some guys that, whether they want to be considered the leader or not, they are, and they're not setting the example for some of the other players. So, you know, you can try to fix that, but sometimes it gets fixed, sometimes it doesn't.
Well, you've said many times during the season, which you don't mind penalties. You know, you talk about you've been plagued by penalties. You don't mind penalties, physical penalties, you know, but the illegal procedures and the false starts, those kind of things, the mental part of it is part of that maturity you're talking about.
Yeah, it's just a maturity factor. We've just got too many kids that take an approach to the game that it's just kind of, I don't know, just kind of go with the flow and let's just go out there and see what happens, and that's not the way I approach it, you know. It's very personal to me. While the game's going on, I want to win the game, you know. Crager already asked me, you know, you gonna give the coaches the weekend off? And, you know, my response, I can't say over the air, no, I'm not giving them the weekend off. We're working right now. I've been here since 7 o'clock. I mean, Coach Adelot knows this. We want to beat them. I mean, I desperately want to beat Riverdale. It is very personal. And, you know, I wish sometimes I was more like our kids so that I felt better at 34 years old. But at the same time, you know, I can tell you everything about every game that we've been in with Riverdale. And, you know, I think sometimes they don't really grasp the importance or the magnitude of the Riverdale-Oakland game. And so it's my job to hopefully the next 2 weeks instill that in them. And, look, I think we have a talented football team. I think we've got more potential than our kids realize at times. And I'm trying my best to figure out how I can get them to sell out to the process, so to speak, of reaching our potential. And we had to honor Thursday. We're doing a unique thing on Thursday nights after our walkthroughs. We're having a team meal at one of our parents' houses. Who's been gracious enough to open their house up to our whole team. And we it's awesome. We've been doing it every Thursday. We're driving over there and eating in fellowship and having somebody speak to us. And we had the honor to have Kermit Davis come speak to us this past Thursday. I mean, you want to talk about.
He's great.
Yeah. Man, he was awesome. I mean, you want to talk about getting chill bumps. And, I mean, he hit it right on the head. You know, he's talking about kids and, you know, their talent level, their potential, but does your passion and your toughness match that? And, I mean, that's totally on point with some of our key players. Does your passion and your toughness match up with your potential? And for some of ours, they're just young, and that passion just isn't quite there yet. Like I said, it's just kind of.
Sometimes it's good to hear from somebody else.
Oh, heck really, yeah. I mean, it was. And I'll tell you one thing about our kids. I mean, it was pretty obvious, and I guess it was just because Coach Davis in his role, they look at him, you know, as a different type of figure than just bringing the regular old Joe off the street they don't know. But they were very attentive, and I thought it hit home with them. I mean, it was he did an awesome job. And so we're very fortunate to have him come speak to us. And so that's, you know, that's one of the things we're trying to work on right now is how can we get our kids to match, play to your potential, you know, and play with toughness. Now, that being said, I challenged our kids before the game last night, and this was another thing that he mentioned in his speech. He asked our team, what is our identity? And truth be told, I don't know what our identity is. I know what I want it to be. I know what I want Oakland football to be known for, but at times it's been that way this year and times it hadn't. But I want us to be physical at the point of attack. I want to be able to win the line of scrimmage. And when you have to, I want to be able to run about three plays. I don't – everybody knows what it is. We're going to run power, sweep, and ISO. And I want you to know that it's coming and that you can't stop it. And last night was the first time that we decided, with the field conditions and Emmanuel being out and everything else, that we were going to line up and just see if we couldn't man up on the offensive line and dominate line scrimmage. We did that for the first time. Fullback David Newman did a great job. Our offensive linemen who don't get much air, but Jeff Benson and Nathan Robinette and Christian Weldy and Caleb Yates and Jack Jones and Austin Barrett and Cliff Thompson, they did a great job, and DJ and Trayvon both got in there and ran for some tough yards. So we needed that for our morale and our confidence moving forward, and I was glad to see us be able to methodically move the ball. And limit. I think we had three penalties, so I challenged them in a couple areas. Let's establish the line of scrimmage. We did that. Let's get rid of some of these, you know, dumb penalties. We did that, and let's protect the football. We threw an interception on the goal line, but it was 4th and 8. I knew if we threw an interception, it was like a punt, so I don't even count that one. So probably the cleanest game we've played on a sloppy field in the mud. You know how ironic that is, but so that is a big positive from last night.
And that was a much improved Smyrna team from week one. I mean, they have gradually gotten themselves better and better each week, and I know you were glad to win the line of scrimmage wars, and that's where it's at, I guess. We talk about, you know, winning in the trenches.
Yeah, they're young, and I know that, you know, they've had some struggles, but Matt's done a good job of keeping them, you know, passionate about what. I'll tell you this: that the early in the game, I thought that we had a chance to start putting it away, and they clawed and fought back in the game. You know, I think that's a testament to him and his staff for what they've done. And I know that it's been a struggle for them at times this year, but their kids are still fighting for them, and I'm sure he'd tell you the same thing. They're still playing hard, and they play hard the whole game last night. So, you know, I mean, you want to win the game, but at this point in the season where they're at, I mean, I know he's proud of the fact that his kids are still playing hard.
We'll talk a little bit let's talk about Emmanuel a little bit. I think he's about back, ready to get back,
yeah.
And maybe he could have played last night if he had to.
Yeah, he could have played last night if he had to. He felt a lot better second half of the week, but I just didn't feel like we needed him unless it came to that, and I wanted to make sure he had enough rest moving forward to the Riverdale game. So I held him out. He dressed. He knew that if we needed him to go in, he didn't have to go in, thanks to our offensive line. So, you know, he'll be healthy, ready to go on Tuesday when we come back. It is what it is.
And now he's got another week
got to get him back in shape.
100%.
Get him back in his mental.
A lot of people forget that, too, about getting in shape, getting back in playing shape. You miss a week or so or 2 weeks, that's an eternity, isn't it, when it comes to physical shape?
And I tell you, I mean, the two things that it's done, you know, obviously when you're I would say he's probably our best player. If you're going to tag somebody, the player, I'd say he's probably the best. You know, I don't know how that goes politically, but, you know, he's one of the best players we've got for sure. And when you're missing him, obviously it changes the dynamic of your team. We're very fortunate because we have Rhett Stacey, you know. And we're also very fortunate because we got Tyler Black on defense. So what it did for us depth-wise was tremendous because it allowed Rhett to get even more reps at quarterback going forward. And, look, I mean, you know, I told our coaches this morning, I have a renewed energy today moving forward, because to me, I'm looking at it as this is the second half of the season. Now, a lot of people are saying, okay, you got three, four weeks left. I hope we're working, you know. I miss my daughter and all that, but I can see her at Christmas. I want to work. We put this much time in it. I want to keep playing, and I want to see how far we can take this football team. Like I said, I'm very proud of where we are, and if we could finish 7-3 and finish second in the district, you know, you don't want to play for second, but with the dynamics of our team this year and the amount of injuries that we had, I'd be very proud. I'm proud of our team right now, but I think it'd be a tremendous accomplishment and for us to get to host a playoff game, something like that. So,
and you're one game away. You really think about it, you're one game away from that 7-3.
Yeah.
And, you know, 3 weeks ago,
you're
probably not having this conversation.
No. So, but going back to Emmanuel, he's ready to go. It allowed Tyler to get a lot of valuable reps on defense, and it allowed Rhett to get a lot of valuable reps on offense. And we got Trayvon back. He's finally healthy. He got, I think he had 10 or 11 carries for 70 yards, had 2 touchdowns. He's basically been out of the picture for several weeks. And he's, you know, one of the best players on our team as well. And we need him. So it was good for him to have some confidence last night on offense. And then it was great for DJ. DJ's been the kind of the ultimate teammate and been very unselfish and kind of done his role very quietly, gone about his business. But he had 170-something yards, I think, last night. Ran the ball very hard. And, you know, like I said, we ran the ball effectively, so that was good. And, you know, this district, man, it's just – I was just talking to some of the coaches. I was thinking about – I guess Siegel pretty much wrapped it up last night. But I know in 08 it was a region, but – I talk to Coach Rankin all the time, and he looks at our district as what it was when he was here. Well, it's not. It's just not the same anymore. It's a totally different picture. And I know in 08 we won the region. In 09, Blackman won the first year of the district. In 2010, I believe it was Smyrna. Last year it was Riverdale. This year it's Siegel. Well, that's 5 teams in 5 years that I've been in this league that has been a different team winning. Now think about that. They're all good football teams. And, I mean, I like Krager. He's a good guy. He's sitting over there. I'm not going to talk bad about him, but you know, he makes these comments about whether or not it's the big boy league or not. Maybe it's not the big boy league, but I know this. We got great football in our league. We got great players. We got a lot of passionate coaches, passionate fans, and it's a tough league, man, day in and day out. It's a grind, and I think just, again, look at the last 5 years. Somebody's different won it every year.
Well, I don't know. I think that's a good thing in terms of at least fan interest. I know you don't. Yeah, I mean, but yeah,
but they do.
Yeah,
you
know, but
it's a testament to our league and the amount of competition we have, and it just makes it for the best football in the state, I think.
Well, you add more teams, Coach. Each year, Stewart's Creek. But I think one of the things is it really too that depth is more of a more important than it used to be because of there's so many teams and so much talent in each one of them. But injuries can really kind of have to kind of regroup after an injury now.
You have to have numbers in our league. And, a lot of times I think we do get caught up, everybody does, with look at all the kids on the sideline. Everybody's got 100 players now. But I think everybody kind of takes the same stance on if a kid's going to come out and work hard and do everything they're supposed to, they're going to give them a helmet and give them a chance to play. But in the same capacity, you got to have numbers for practice, number one. Number two, in this league, you got to have depth. And I know, there was a story in the DNJ this week. Siegel's been, I think Greg would tell you, they've been very fortunate. They haven't had many injuries. And, part of that is luck. I mean, I'm not saying that to
doubt. Well, you would say that.
They're,
probably,
they're
sure.
A great football team. But, when you have a great team, you still have to have a lot of luck. I mean, look at Riverdale last year. I mean, they go 13 games, and then they lose the biggest piece of the puzzle. You don't think that Dylan Woodruff is a huge factor in whether or not they go to Maryville and have a chance to win that game? I mean, so – it's just you got to have a lot of luck, and you got to have depth, and it's hard sometimes to develop depth because it's a catch-22 on whether or not you're working your main guys enough and still having enough time to work your other people, if that makes sense, your backups, without staying out on a practice field for 3 hours a day. I'm of the mindset that everything for us is based off a structure of time, and I want to be as efficient as possible. So, we tried at this time of year to be an hour and 45, if at all possible, on practice. And, I mean, after 2:15 on a practice field, you're going to lose their attention span. So it's hard to do all those things, develop depth and whatnot, and get enough work with your older guys in that kind of time frame. So it's just one of those things you have to manage as a coach.
And with the sixth win, the second season hopefully has begun. I mean, the work for the second
it's
crunch time every game.
Yeah, we're excited. I mean, we get a bye week to get rested up. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. We get to work on Riverdale 2 weeks, but guess what? Our scout team quarterback is not Dylan Woodruff. And the last time I checked, my scout team fullback is not Scotty Boykin. It's not Phillips. And I don't have we don't have a scout team wide receiver out there like Onwu. So, I mean, just like their defensive lines, we get to work on the mental part of it, but, they're going to come to our place jacked up, ready to go when we play them. Obviously, they got a game this week. My attention right now is on Riverdale. It is what it is. I hate saying that, but I mean, everybody knows the history of the two programs, and I think probably when it's all said and done, they'll come to our place next Friday. We'll both be 6-3, and I think it's a very interesting game for both teams because it's a fight in there with Blackman for second, and
a lot of ramifications.
There's a lot involved in this one as far as playoffs and stuff go, so it's going to be a battle for sure. And I'm excited. I mean, we've played some great games with Riverdale since I've been here, and obviously a lot of coaches on my staff stood on the other sideline and watched Riverdale. I've been a lot of great wins as an assistant at Riverdale. So to say that I've got a soft spot in my heart, I'd be lying to you and everybody. I don't have a soft spot, but I do recognize the fact that that I played in a lot of great games here. You're laughing, but I mean, I'm ready to go, man.
Coach, as always,
we got 13 days, dude. I gotta calm down.
Yeah. Okay, Thomas McDaniel, the head coach of the Oakland Patriots, always a pleasure, and we'll be at that game, Murfreesboro, Oakland and Riverdale at Oakland, and that's going to be the place to be now.
Hey, let me just say one thing. It was three years ago. Maybe this is how at least a daughter will change your perspective. 3 years ago, I was on the air with one of them. I about started crying. I wanted to beat him so bad. Literally, I got tears in my voice because I was so upset from 2009. So at least I can laugh about it.
See, you're improving. See,
that's right. There's small steps, man.
Thomas McDaniel, stay tuned. Brian Barrett's going to have Steve Carson of the Eagleville Eagles coming up next. As we continue with the Prentice Laws of Heating Air Coach's Corner from the Cedar Bucket Restaurant.